gentleman, Mr. Chisholm, the attorney. He explained very nicely. He put together a two-day seminar in 30 minutes. When I was asked to do this presentation, Improvements and Success of Cadastral Mapping in LA County, I said yes right away. Happily. I don't know what was he thinking. Probably Anita called me too early in the morning. I didn't have my coffee. Because what I have to do now is I have to put 25 years of work in 30 minutes. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'll give it a try. Again, my disclaimer, as usual, this is not going to be, again, one of the technical presentations. I'm not going to advertise any product. I'm not going to sell anything. What I'm going to try to do is give you a few what I call drops of knowledge, of wisdom, about what we thought it was important in mapping when we were moving forward from the way we started 25 years ago to what we're doing today. It's just like 6, 7 thoughts that we always kept in mind when doing our job. I hope it's going to be some use, but we'll see. You will be the judges. Since there is a lot of new faces, new people, here's a brief snapshot about LA County. There's 4,040 square miles, 12 million population, that's 88 cities. Well, you have all the data there. The data you can see there is the county. When I started, it was actually 42 square miles larger. We lost a little bit. A little chunk up there, and a little piece to Orange County. There were only 83 cities, so while I've been working there, 5 new cities incorporated, and we have 2 more trying to do the same thing. So we might reach 90 cities pretty soon. Actually, we now have 20% of the population of the whole state is right down there in Orange County. That's scary. We didn't have that many buses when I started. We have getting close to 1 million, or sorry, 1.8 million buses, something like that. We have 2 more map books at the time. We merged them. And we have about 100,000, 90,000 map pages. So they have grown quite substantially. So what I will try to explain to you is how it was in mapping when I started there. This picture was taken about 2 years before I started. But pretty much all of you will remember those old drafting tables. At least some people say, oh. unfortunately, they're all gone. One is in my backyard. We use them. My wife uses it for pottery. The rest, I don't know. A lot of people took them table. We had about 70 of those in mapping at the time. The reason is because there were 65 engineers in mapping when I started. There were 4 working units, as nowadays. At that time, though, each unit was specialized. Like the airspace unit was known as a section Q. Did nothing but airspaces, and that was kind of the training grounds for new hires. Everybody was hired, hired by the county or by the assessor's office in mapping, went straight to the section Q to learn all the basic standards and new condominiums, things like that. Once you were a little bit seasoned, after 2-3 years, that was a little bit in mapping at those times. They move you, they allow you to move to section S, which was for new subdivisions. And with time, when you were a little bit more seasoned, about 10, 12 years later, maybe even later, some people never even made it, they were transferred to section M, which was the people that handled the deeds. It was considered the heavy guys, more knowledgeable people. So that's what happened. The last section, Q, section O, I was the checking unit. They didn't produce anything, they didn't draw anything, they just checked upside down everything that we did. That was our only function. Never make their lives miserable. I says that we were supervised of everyone. 7 years, yeah, so everybody loved to make them. Not anymore. It's out of there. Another thing was that everything was that minor, 100%. You know, automation in those days. The most automated thing that we had was the drafting machines. It was fun playing with those things. Some people have two, it's kind of a hysteria. Pencils, rapidograph, Ricoh templates. We didn't even ever get to Leroy's. It was too advanced for us. We had these plastic templates to draw all the stuff. Well, that was those good old times. So I tried to explain to you what we did, what we had to do to get to where we are right now. So like, things were not bad. That's what I thought when I got there, when I started working and I saw all that stuff. Coming from a third world country, I thought it was going to be like in a science fiction movie, all this laser stuff. It was a real awakening. So I'm going to tell you a story. What happened? Long time ago, there was this remote castle. Over there, in those lands used to be known as the Office of the Assessor, Mapping Services. And that's how this thing started. Like any castle, you know, on the medieval times, we were under attack by a lot of dragons. Those dragons that were menacing us, it was a heavy workload. Remember, everything was done by hand. We had thousands of parcels coming in. There was a lot of retirements, but not one person retiring. There was 5, 7, sometimes 8 or 9 at the same time out of market. Because people was hiring bands, those groups. And it was very difficult to hire people because we were sharing the same hiring list with county engineers, flood control, roads, and mapping in the assessor. The reason is because mapping unit, 2 years earlier, like in 1980, used to belong to the county engineers, and the assessor bought that unit and moved us to the assessor. So that's what happened in those times, those days. I have my notes, I cannot remember 25 years ago. Last nights. Anyway, so that was the things that were menacing to us. So we started doing our head together, so I started, you know, young guy, handsome. So I was trying to come up with this idea. So I'm talking to my boss. I said, well, we should change things here, you know. There's things that, and he bought the idea. So what happened was, there was this wine skin and a dashing knife. As my first word of wisdom. If you want to move forward on any project, you have to have at least a dynamic duo, you know, Batman and Robin, Randy and Jim, things like that. You have to make a team. One would be the brains or whatever you want to call it, the wisdom, and other people would be putting the force behind that, you know. You have to hold up, because you need that to move forward. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. In our case, it was automation. We started thinking about that. So start searching our arsenal, see what we have, what was at hand that we could use. We didn't want to start, you know, cold. They tried that before I started in the county and they dropped it. Turned out to be, like Gary Powell mentioned yesterday, some of the draft persons in our office did maps faster than a guy on the computer. technology wasn't that great. So I made big profit. But I told them, no, we can do it, we can beat them. So we started looking at, the first thing we did is look around us. We were looking for data sources. I knew that public works have visual data in some form. We're talking all CAD data, there's no GIS talks about that. So we thought, okay, it's good, they have data, they have computers. We can, because of our relationship we have with them, we managed to get the authorization and use the computers for like a little pilot project, a couple of months. A greater shift though, than time during the day. So we came out with a pilot project, a pilot area. We found a map book that has a little bit of everything, channels, freeways, easements, whatever. And we decided to convert that book and see how it goes. So we prepared an implementation plan, like what the people in the IT world right, like to know what's the scope of project. Of course, they take months. It took us like 2 days to put it together. Presented to management, and they agreed. So we selected a team, a couple of people, myself and somebody else, and they sent it to the dungeons and public works to us. Now, in doing that, we started working, testing, creating standards in computers. We're using computer vision, CAS4X, only the military uses it now. So. And as this project started moving, of course, I remember I had to jump months and years, otherwise we'll be here until next year. What happened is that the more people were getting trained, we started hiring and looking for, you know, brave knights and cavaliers, especially that they have to be brave. So we started recruiting. So we started hiring and getting more people. All jumping aside, these guys are two of the support in an office. Get all the knowledge and everything, processing, computers, whatever. It's just I like to make fun of it. This is my how do you say, revenge. They please me my book because of my colorful shirts, that is my payback time. So we keep on working on that, putting all our wheels in motion, keep on chugging along, creating more maps, converting, little by little. We started a big process. We jumped into this huge crusade. There was mapping that's radical being done in, or tried with mapping in LA County since, I would say, late 50s, early 60s, when they moved from those big map books, 2 by 3 feet, into the 11 by 17. So there was a re-throw process. There was nothing as big as that until we started with this automation. So the first, the five big ideas that I was going to tell you, what we did is we tried to reach other agencies. We tried to work with them. I mentioned public works. They were trying to automate the county, to create additional maps of different, at least unincorporated areas, which is about 1/3 of the county. And they had some subcontracted cities, so they covered a good part. Then there was City of LA. They were, at the same time, they started also doing automation. So we had good relations with them. We started exchanging files. We were all using the same software, computer vision, at the time. And that's how we started gaining the speed, getting momentum. We have the people, we have equipment. We start adding stations, have our own automated site within our office. We look as the weird guys, you know, with the keyboard instead of the pens. Anyway, the second one. Once we have this relationship, we need to make sure that we have we need to have these communications program. we don't want to irritate anybody. So the city of LA said, we're going to work in this part of the city. And Holy Forest working, they say that like close to Palmdale or Lancaster, we decided, okay, we're going to work in San Gabriel Valley area. So we help each other. So we need to make sure that everybody knew what the other guy was doing. Otherwise, people get easily upset on this. When you kind of all preempted in the same area, nothing. First thing, and this goes with our partners and with our management. You have to keep them informed. They need to know what you're doing. I'm of the philosophy that management is on a need-to-know basis, but they don't need to know. We tell them as least as possible, but they need to know some things. Also, in working with the cities and with our county public works and other agencies, we wanted to make our points across. We tell them, what we are producing is for assessment purposes only. Because everybody goes, oh, that's with computer, it has to be perfect, it's accurate. That survey accuracy, it's not true. We didn't want that, we wanted assessment, something that will replace our maps and help. At that time, we were ready to start thinking of the GIS and other things, so it comes the fourth pair of wisdom. You don't have to be concerned with what software you're going to use. I'm not going to recommend any, because each one of you will have your own needs. What you have to do is you have to look for what does the work that you need to do. If you have to draw assessor maps only, find a tool that will draw assessor maps with providing all the tools to make it easier. Don't be afraid of changes. We tried, we went to 3 or 4 different software companies, tried like 3 or 4 more, and we just keep on changing. So one thing that will help you getting stuck in something, think always simple. A line, remember, it's just a line. It doesn't have to have to be super smart. It doesn't have to be so intelligent that it will tell you, I'm this big, this long, and going that way. The reason is because we, in assessor mapping, we have to put whatever it was recorded. If the owner said that the guy who recorded says 50 feet, we have to show 50 feet. Even the computer said 51. It doesn't matter. So you don't have to get concerned with all these fancy things. Just go to the point. Figure out what is what you need to do, and go ahead for that. You cannot get distracted, because sometimes it can get you in trouble. It doesn't matter. All these tries to do, it doesn't matter how you diversify. You have to keep your goal. You need to know what you're doing, what your primary function is. And sometimes we see all these demos, we see presentations. I'm not referring to the ones we saw here. Every time, you know, our office gets bombarded all the time with presentations and things like that. And everybody's showing what is most popular, what is really smart, like smart bombs that the military use, you know, oh, this is the top of the line software. That's nice, but that's not what I do. We hear about zoning, doing planning. We don't do zoning. We don't do planning. We don't do criminal analysis for police or sheriff. What we do is assess our maps for assessment purposes. Now, the advantage is when you start trying to get into GIS is that you do your assessor maps, and in doing those, you can create a parcel fabric or a parcel layer that is a foundation for any GIS application, countywide, or a state one. So that's our relationship with GIS. So you have to provide something simple, something clean, that anybody can use. In LA County, we share our parcel data with the sheriff, fire department, regional planning, racial borders, the libraries, dentists have made some special applications, analysis for them to deploy mobile libraries and things like that. So, and we're not a GIS provider. That's the point. We have done it, but that's not our function. So we don't want to get deviated. So what happened after we follow all these steps is that we get to where we are right now. Now everything is pretty much 100% automated. Even our reporting, our job distribution, everything is done automated. We don't practically write anything, very little. Only you know, notes, where is lunch today, you know, where we're going, happy hour, things like that. But everything else is pretty much, we keep linking our system. We try to link what we do. We still have 4 units. The difference is that each one of our units now does airspaces, subdivisions, deeds. We maintain a good cross-training program. So anybody on any unit can pick up any job and continue without hesitation. We try to maintain that level of training. We try to take our people to conferences, seminars, trade shows, training classes, everything. We provide as much as we can. We try to make the most of the software we use. For example, we jump to the software we're using right now, the SRI. We use a geodatabase. It's a SQL server. And we figured out that everybody has to create a parcel change listings, right, to send to ownership. Our check-in units, they take care of the quality control. That's the only thing never changed. They're still being mean with everybody. Even meaner, because now they use computers. And they can be mean and made it. The only thing that changed besides that is that we still need to pass this report, the parcel change. I think we saw a demonstration yesterday. So we have also an imaging system, so we receive anything automated directly from the call of records. We're normally behind a week, 10 days with our documents. We're behind our subdivisions and parcel maps only 2 days. After 2 days of recording, we are already working that. So, and we have to do that because there's a big volume. Every year on the average, we have about 25,000 new parcels for the past, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years. We only have 42 people now, down to from 65. Everything that we have is has been scanned in house, converted to PDF, and all our maps are online. And they are accessible to all the appraisers, for example, on the intranet. Every 2.5 hours, the maps library is updated. So as a map is being approved by the check-in unit, within 2 hours it's accessible to anybody. Our property database doesn't get updated until, I don't know, 3 months or whatever. It has to go through ownership, valuations, all things. The parcel change, that's something that is going to just briefly mention. I would like to make a presentation of that at the next conference. It's what we use is the power of GIS. Our engineers, when they are drawing the subdivision, producing the parcels and everything, at the same time they're adding some fields to that basic polygon. Before it used to be just the assessor ID number. Now it has the subdivision number, condominium, the parcel number, the lot number, everything else. So when our project gets to the checker, they don't need to write down those forms. All they do is they key in the old parcel number or the parent, and the lists are created automatically. Even the legal description is created automatically from our geodatabase. Even on condominiums, it would say what percentage of interest is based on the number of units that we created. So we're making use of every tool available. But remember, the focus is to apply those tools in our work. We're not concerned with doing zoning for other people or other things. We can do it. We produce a lot of special jobs at request from the board of supervisors, our management, you know, all of the agencies. But that is not our function, so we set aside time to do that. with that, now we have more time to work. We have useless people. I failed to mention when we were having like 65 engineers 25 years ago, we used to do about 4,000 to 5,000 hours of overtime every year. We even got to the point in some times to do what we used to call paper tracks. Have anybody heard that term? Okay, what we used to do, I don't know if it's the same thing, you know, is to create a list of the new parcels, put all the information, send it through the system to ownership and valuation, but the maps were never made. Until we get to a quiet period, then we throw all the pages to match those old parcels. It was kind of risky doing that, but we were forced to do that because there was no more time. There was no overtime allowed. So all that disappeared. So now we can do a lot of new things. We created our assessor website, produced custom applications with GIS technology. We started our infamous marketing project, and that is gone. Now we share everything that was the original idea. Everything, property database, ship files, even the maps are now, I think, available to the public if somebody wants to get all 117,000 for $1,000 or so. We created consortiums with cities and other county agencies, and through that we get a high resolution color orthophotos. Normally it's down to 4 pixels per inch. So it's very high resolution. Digital elevation models that are used by Public Works. Oblique photos, you know, through pictometry. What we do is we get every other year we switch the type of photos we get. So 1 year we get the orthophotos, the next year we get the obliques. So it's only every 2 years we get a refresh of the photos in every format. Our next step now, our big move is going to be try to integrate our GIS system with our the camera, with computerized assisted mass appraisal. We'll see how that goes. As you figure out, everything that has been tried before in our office on the IT side has to be done custom made. And not so much because we do things differently, it's because of the volume. So sometimes the standard programs it cannot take it. So at least that's what the system says. So pretty much we reached to what we call modern times. Now some of you might think, well, it's time to sit down, enjoy, see what I've done. Not quite. That was just a race. By the way, this is not Obama and this is not the presidential race. This is just one race. All we did was just one more phase, one crusade. You know, there were still 3-4 more crusades before we can say that you're done. Now we have all this diversification. We need to try different things. We're already working to produce field books for the major real properties. The appraisers will keep track of all the offices, businesses, and things like that. We're trying to produce maps for mobile home parks, not for the base logging, that we already do now. Because new legislation, now we have to kind of assess individual sites. So we're trying to produce maps for them before there was an existing. That would probably bring our geodatabase up to past the 2.5 million parcels mark. And there's a lot of projects, a seamless tax rate area coverage or layer or GIS layer for the whole county. We're already working on that, it's about 30% done. And all that, maintaining the relationship with parks, so all the lines are matching, we're trying to put the rules to control that. So. And that's going to be a benefit for all these special districts, LAFCO, CRA agencies, school districts. So we cannot say that we already won the race and won the battle. It was just one race in many. And that's pretty much how our office looks now. And that's all the people we have, minus 2 or 3. Yes?
Yeah. Do you, I guess, like, maintain your parcel layer with AutoCAD and all that kind of stuff?
We use ESRI's ArcInfo. We have about 25 editors.
So if you have one big layer, parcel layer, then that...
Yeah, we have a seamless. All the parcels actually are completed for the county. What we haven't completed is the actual assessor maps out of those parcels. Initially, we tried to do like a conversion program, take them up to convert all the pages. Problem is that by the time we were done, there were new projects in those books, and you have to go back and redo it again, so it was never ending. So what we decided to do now is as we move forward with new projects, we start taking those pages and converting completely and discard the manual pages. And from the system, we produce directly, instead of printing, we produce the PDF files directly for our intro.
Question about your tax rate area layers. Is that those line features, the actual boundaries, or their color tones?
It's the same as our parcels. We have to keep both. We keep our lines, apply topology rules. So from the lines, we create the polygons. The lines will keep, like in parcels, the lines keep all the information on the boundary, what type of line is, a lot line, whatever. Once they're converted to polygon, it only has one or fewer attributes. Same thing is with the tax rate areas. Whenever they follow boundary or parcel lines, we use the parcel line to generate the others so they match exactly. But then for those lines, we produce the polygons with the tax rate area number, which is unique, and the county is not the same as the state board. And then we have cross indexes, we have tables that we can use to produce, if somebody wants to know about the pre-home community college district or wherever, we can produce a map of that automatically.
So it's a polygon line?
It's a combination of both polygons and line. Yeah.
What do you call your mappers? What is your work title?
Our entry level, or sub entry level, when we hire them is engineering A3. We're still using, by the way, the same old classification as public works. The second level is a survey mapping technician, then senior survey mapping tech, supervising survey mapping tech, and then for management is a cadastral engineer 2 and 3.
But an engineering license or a degree is not required, that's just your internal?
When we hire, we require at least 2 years of college. If you have a degree, then you get more points in the classification for evaluation to put on a band. And it needs to be 2 years of college and on a science, related science, engineering or related science, which we're finding the personnel because whenever they see the word engineer, they say, oh, okay, it's acceptable. So we get chemical engineers, civil engineers. The latest one, we just had Gavin started cracking up because it was an engineer slash captain for marine, merchant marine.
Oh my.
He saw the marine engineer, the good guy who said, I drove up a map of land. He didn't have a great person in his life, but he applied and he accepted and passed the written test. Of course, he just put his name on the drafting test. Yes.
What about the legal descriptions? For example, for rock languages and small, surveyors give the legal description. You rewrite the legal description in a system.
What happened is there is another unit in ownership called partial change. But when we create the new subdivisions, partial maps, and airspace get automatically drawn, written by the system, or the program we put together. For reserve maps and bids, there is two units, used to be like 22 people that didn't do nothing but writing the legals on pieces of paper, transfer those to a data entry group, and they key it into the system. Now they don't have to do, they used to do that for everything. So now they only do that for about 5,000-7,000 parcels a year. We took two-thirds of their labor out of their hands.
But they do, you do it still, right?
We don't do it in writing anymore. We don't put anything. The program we create is used also by this parcel change unit, so they key it in on the system directly. What we did is we bypassed completely the data entry unit. So we relieved like, I don't know, 30 people. They were not laid off, they just were relocated within ownership. Okay.
Do you do OCR and that kind of stuff with the current needs or just retype it?
No, they just retype. They just copy it from the. Remember, we don't create what's legal, we just copy. That's what we call it, property descriptions, not legal descriptions. All right, I have to stop. Sorry. I'll be around, though, for this 1 hour. Thank you very much.